today on Real Radio.
We're looking at issues of the Bible that are important, that we better get under our belt of understanding, that as Christians in the world that we live in right now, we need to be able to not only say what we believe, but be able to defend it with a reasonable answer. We need to be able to answer people for the hope that we have within us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 2, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture actually reveals. In Part 1 of this lesson, Pastor Jack talks about how he sees three aspects of what we might call heaven. There's our atmosphere, where the birds fly above the trees and where the clouds are formed, a majestic scene that often prompts us to worship our God who created it. The second heaven is where the sun, the moon, and the stars are, and they declare the glory of God, because the slightest disruption can affect the entire universe. And then there's the third heaven, which is God's dwelling place. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are one in the same. And the kingdom of God exists in the life of every believer through the Holy Spirit, who brings us grace, mercy, forgiveness, and joy, so that we can also share it with others. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So, Father, we pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would be our instructor. And Father God, that as we leave this church building today, that we would transform the world that we come in contact with. For those of us who trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be those who will carry the message of heaven to those who we work with, to those who we live with. And so, God, we pray that more than ever, as we look around at the world that seems to be unhinged, let us, Lord, look at it rightly. Nothing's unhinged. Everything's falling right into place because you're on the throne. And we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And as I said earlier, we're looking in our series right now, Who Told You About Heaven? If you're visiting Calvary for the first time today, we have broken away from our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of the books of the Bible to go into this discipleship, as it were, topical series for a season. And we're looking at issues of the Bible that are important, that we better get under our belt of understanding, that as Christians in the world that we live in right now, we need to be able to not only say what we believe, but be able to defend it with a reasonable answer. We need to be able to answer people for the hope that we have within us. There's the French philosopher Jules Renard, who says, on earth there is no heaven, but there are pieces of it. I want you to think about that statement for a moment. That there is no heaven on earth, but he says in his statement that there are pieces of it. And I like that. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by it, but this is how I understand his statement. When you look around the world, by the way, did you know this week, did you see Mammoth, for example, Lake Tahoe? Did you see the Sierra Mountains? Did you see what happened? A feet of snow fell right here in the middle of September up in the Sierra. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's blanketed. When you look at those things of creation, the beauty of that, I understand then what he is saying. There is no heaven on this earth, but there are pieces of it. There are the things that God reveals that should cause us to worship God and frankly, to be in awe of God. And we looked last time, as we began to look at these issues of heaven, that when the Bible talks about heaven, we have to be very careful what we're talking about. We have to read the Bible carefully, because there are aspects of heaven. And so last time we asked that question of what has God said about heaven, and we definitely included in the parentheses, S, plural, heavens. because the Bible teaches us, as we saw, that there is the heaven that is the here and now, the heaven that you and I breathe, the heaven that we see, the atmosphere where birds are flying. And we understood that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that that's exactly what God was saying, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's the heaven that's most immediate that we relate to. And we learn from that that the heavens that are the here and now heavens should result or prompt within our lives worship. Everything, by the way, this is not an overstatement, this is not an exaggeration. Everything that God has created, I believe, should cause us to be prompted to worship. Whatever man creates, I'm not exactly sure. Whatever God creates, I am definitely positive. It is awesome. And that God who's created the heaven and the earth, in my opinion, has left his fingerprints on a scientific level everywhere. And we would be in awe of him. And then the second thing we saw last time was that the God that has created the heavens and the earth has also created the celestial heavens. That's what we would call the second heaven. The second heaven would be where the stars are at, where the satellites travel. We would just say affectionately space. But that's a vast region. That goes out so beyond. We are still mapping it. Remember, I told you last week that the Bible says that God holds the universe, and technically it's the cosmos plural. It's hard to say. How do you say this? Cosmoses? The universes in the span of his hand. Now, that is poetic language. He doesn't have a hand that's that big, but God is that big to where there is nothing. Listen, there is nothing beyond his creation. He governs it all. Isn't that great? I love that about him. God doesn't look at the Grand Canyon and say, wow, isn't that big? You and I do that. God looks at the Grand Canyon and says, I hope they think that's cool. I hope they understand that that's a little glimpse of the power of my creative works. God is truly awesome. And we learned about the celestial heavens out of that fantastic passage of scripture in Psalm 19, verse 1. I'll just remind you of that first verse, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And we broke that down, that the heavens are speaking. The atmosphere, the stars, all that God has made is perpetually announcing that it is of an engineer. It is of a designer. It is of logic and reason, that everything is so fine-tuned that the slightest disruption has a repercussion, as it were, throughout the entire created universe. And so today, church, here's where we pick it up. Regarding the question, who told you about heaven? Well, the Bible says God has told us about heaven. And I want to stress that today, because now we look at what we refer to as the kingdom of heaven. Can you write that down? The kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a little bit of a diversion this way. We talked about what we would call the first heaven, what God created last week. We talked about the second heaven, that is the stellar, the space, the cosmos. And then we would naturally go to what is referred to by Paul the Apostle as the third heaven. We'll hear more about this today. The third heaven is the abode or the dwelling place of God. When you think about heaven, that's what you think about. You think about that. And I agree with you. But we're going to make a little bit of a diversion before we land there today. And we're talking about what is referred to as the kingdom of heaven. And if you're a note taker, I need you to write that down. It's very important. By the way, Bible students, this is important. The kingdom of heaven, the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, and the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, right? You've all read that. We'll see it in a moment. Just know this, that in the original language, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God mean the exact same thing. They're interchangeable. They completely dovetail together. When you find the kingdom of God, there present is the kingdom of heaven. When you find the kingdom of heaven, you find there present the kingdom of God. Case in point, Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24. "Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of," what? God. He uses them to speak about the exact same thing. What is, we ask the question, this kingdom of God or this kingdom of heaven? And the Bible teaches us that it is God's rule, God's authority, God's kingdom in the believer. Mark that down. This is awesome. There is the heaven that he has made. There is the heaven that is space travel. There's the heaven that you and I will eventually dwell in forever. But the Bible says that there is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that is available to be within you. And this should cause every Christian to set up and to take notice that there's something very, very holy taking place regarding our relationship with God. We very much underestimate who we are in Christ. We have made things common, and that's a tragedy. In a very real technical sense, Jesus Christ is saying that the kingdom of God is present wherever the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer. Number two, wherever Jesus Christ was walking on earth at any given moment, he would often say in the New Testament, as you read it, challenging the listeners, "The kingdom of God is at hand." What did he mean by that? He meant that when he was walking into Capernaum or Caesarea, the kingdom, he was ushering it in. Wherever Christ was, listen everybody, wherever he was, in a very real way, the kingdom of God was not only being represented by him, the kingdom of God had arrived. That's purely biblical speaking, but boy, is it radical, and we miss it. So listen, and I want to be careful today, because I'm not here to promote some bizarro doctrine. You know me, I'm not that kind of a Bible teacher, but I want to build you up this morning safely. Look, you and I suffer. You and I have difficulties. You and I are in the process of being sanctified in a work by the Holy Spirit. But let's all remember that the kingdom of God dwells within every believer because the Holy Spirit resides in you. You are marked and stamped by the salvation of Christ himself. And wherever you go today, wherever I go, as Jesus walked into a village, so you and I walk into our community. And if anybody brings grace and mercy, forgiveness, conviction, righteousness, holiness into a community, it's you. There is a divine appointed call upon the believers' lives that should cause us all to just sit up and say, "God, thank you for this amazing calling upon my life." God just didn't call you to get you into heaven. That's your destination. That's your retirement. That's the promise. That's going to happen. But what's going on with you en route to heaven? Because you are going to heaven. What does God want to do with you? He wants to use you. John came up here a moment ago and encouraged you to be used by the Gideons, to join with them, to get the word of God to the end of the earth. That's doing something with your salvation. You don't do it to get saved. You do it because you are saved. What an opportunity that Christ invites us to get involved. So you think about that. In about 40 minutes, you're going to be released from this place, if you're lucky, and you're going to get out into the world, and you are going to be Christ bearers. It is a tremendous call. And we need to take that more seriously. The fact of the matter is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus has commanded us to preach. Here's the question. If Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of God is with you or within you, then are we not taking the person of Christ, as it were, everywhere we go? You know, listen, I met a beautiful young couple. I didn't meet them for the first time. I had a meeting with them. They attend church here. And I remember meeting them in the foyer. And I got to tell you, I don't usually do this, but in my mind, I said to myself, this couple is special. There's an anointing on their lives. And I don't usually think or talk like that. And I had a meeting with them this last week. And I told them, I said, I don't know if I've ever said this to anybody before, but I got to tell you, you guys need to very, very carefully, beautifully, but carefully conduct your Christian walk because they're beautiful believers. And I just said, you need to maintain that because let this go to your heart and not your head, but God has an anointing on your life and that's not given for without a purpose. So the two of you need to find out what that is. Both of them are studying to be doctors and we'll see what God has in store for them. But you could sense that. And wherever you go, people are going to sense the fact that there's something different with them. They may not be able to say, oh my goodness, look at you. The kingdom of God is within you. No, but they might say, you know what? I was talking to you and I felt encouraged, or I was speaking to you and something's different. You seem to have looked right through me. There was a sense I had that maybe, you know what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because now, listen, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. You think about who we are in this world. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, now when Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. It's been true for 2,000 years. It's true today. There is a day coming when Christ will call, rapture up the church out of this world. Our witness will be complete. I get that part. But Jesus said, listen. In fact, think about the priority of this. We want to jump ahead to let's learn about the heaven that we're going to live in forever. But wait a minute. How are you going to get there? You want to get there? Great. I agree with you. But listen, for those of you who are not aware, how do you get there? I just heard a poll recently. I read it yesterday. 74% of Americans believe that there's an actual heaven. But out of the 74% that believe that there's an actual heaven, there's 4% that were confident that they were going there. So if there's only 4% that were confident of going there, then what about the bulk of the percentage that's not sure if they're going? I would be terrified if I was in that group. Because listen, this is the American version. Oh, it's heaven. It's heaven and either A, everybody gets to go because everybody gets a trophy. Or some people get to go, but no worries because there can't be a hell. So what does it matter if I believe in God or not? We all know there just can't be a hell. Well, why can't there be a hell? Jesus said there was. When you say you're saved, think about it. What are you saying? By the way, how many of you are saved? Okay, put your hands down. If I were to ask you individually, would you be able to tell me what you're saved from? If you can't tell me what you're saved from, then how can you be saved? What are you saved from? The Bible says Christ saved us from hell and the punishment of hell and death and the grave. But he didn't only do that. He wrapped us in his holiness. He forgave us our sins and he made us acceptable to heaven. We're going to heaven if you're trusting Christ. And that's glorious news. No, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you. And do you know that today, that the kingdom of heaven is within you? There is the coming reality of heaven, but our human ability is limited to be able to imagine that. I understand that. It's embarrassing if you think about it. We as humans, we design and develop so many wonderful things. I get that. true story, okay? Humans can develop amazing things. No doubt about it. A word to the wise. When you pay to get a Universal Studios ticket in Hollywood and you go on the tour, don't do what I did. In one of the rides where you get on there, you're supposed to wear 3D glasses. Now, I had glasses. I had my sunglasses. They handed me 3D glasses. thinking, I just never thought that I had my glasses in my hand that I needed to wear for the ride. I had my other glasses on. I enter the ride with everybody else. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's hooting and hollering. And I'm thinking, what is this? Is this a joke? This is ridiculous. I want my money back. They get out on the other end and everybody's freaking out and so happy about how cool it was. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it. What is the deal? And they're looking at me, and I got my 3D glasses in my hand with my other glasses on my eyes. I went through the ride with the wrong glasses on. I was the bozo. I couldn't see any of the technological wonders. I was looking with the wrong eyes. My eyes weren't fitted for the miracle of what they do there in Hollywood. So I missed it. And we can be all around this world looking at trees, looking at butterflies, looking at whatever's going on, and we can miss it because we're not looking at creation with the right eyes. We're not looking at the fact that heaven is coming. And we're not looking at the fact that, you know what? Listen, everybody, listen. We're not looking at the fact that we are members of a church. And I don't mean members. You know this church. We don't have your membership, do we? We don't call you up and say, aren't you going to give this month? We have no membership here. We're trusting God to provide. We always have. For 26 years, he's never failed us. Here's the thing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're born again. And if you're born again, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit has baptized you into the body of Christ, and we become members of one another. This is a spiritual truth in a reality. And if that's true in your life, we are members one of another. We're the church. We're not to hide out from one another. We are to actually get together more as we see the end days approaching. So says Hebrews 10. Are you with me? This is an important thing, because if the kingdom of God is within us as believers, we have our personalities, yes. But Jesus died for our sins, not for our personalities. And the body of Christ is to be strengthened by interface one with another. And it's a tremendous thing. And so I'm confident. Be confident. Believer, because the kingdom of God dwells within you. The Holy Spirit is at work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Who Told You About Heaven? Part 2. Thanks for listening. And you know, God made heaven for our ultimate fulfillment, but the only way to get there is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Who Told You About Heaven? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too. So why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. By the way, if you have a question about what maybe you just heard here on Real Radio, you can always head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that Contact tab. Don't hesitate. We'd love to get you in contact with someone who can help you out. Maybe a question about something you heard here on the radio? Why don't you give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO or hit the Contact tab at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.